Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Phone Show Chat. It's Monday, the 27th of April. It's in the evening, and it's show 892. Hello, Joe.
Hello, how you doing? I forgot what day it is.
I sent Joe a message at 7:55, 10 minutes after the starting time. But it just so happened also that I got tied up with something with my dad, and so we were all late, and poor David Burns, our lovely guest today, was sitting here waiting, wondering what on earth was going on, no doubt. Hello, David.
hello, Ted. Hello, Joe.
I was trailing through the Steve's previous notes on who's been on the show, and I couldn't see your name anywhere, and I couldn't remember you being on the show. Have you been on the show?
No, never been on. I mean, I've been around for years and years and years, you know, but I've never actually popped my head above the parapet as such.
Well, you're very welcome, and it'll be very interesting to hear straight from the go as to what your phone history has been like and how you've got to where you are and what you've done and where you live and all those interesting things for people that have not been on before. So that'll be great. We'll come to that in just a second. Phones Show Chats.uk is our website with two S's in the middle, so don't forget that. We've also got MeWe groups are plenty, and also audio podcasts are plenty. So you can find out all about those on Podhub UK, or if you get lost, it's all at tedsalmon.com as well. But phonesshowchat.uk is our website, which is now shared with Camera Creations. But we'll come to that a bit later on. It is the The trend these days to hand over at this stage straight to the guest and then let the guest run the show and take as little or as much time or as they want to with what they want to talk about, leading the agenda completely. And if they run out of steam, then we can bore you with our shit afterwards. So, David, you're very welcome. Yep. And the world is your oyster, so feel free to talk about whatever you like.
Okay. I've been in IT since 1995, so I've been around sort of IT and various things for a long time. I've always had an interest in, well, it started off with PDAs. I had an interest in PDAs, and I used to flip between Palm PDAs and Windows PDAs all the time, you know, just trying to find the perfect device, as it was. But when smartphones came along, I went on to smartphones, obviously the Symbian devices. I think I've had most of the Symbian devices and the Cyan devices. I liked all the, you know, the Nokia products and some Sony Ericsson products as well. Mm. But I always preferred the Nokia products to the Sony Ericsson products, you know. So, I'm now retired. I'm on the later stages in my 60s. But I've been, I was a computer manager for 40 odd years. Mm. At one point, I was responsible for around about 250 desktops, 14 sites scattered throughout the Midlands. I'm now sort of retired, but can't let it go. And most of my sort of enthusiasm goes on smartphones.
What did you have to do in your job with your 200-odd computers? Were you completely the man that was called for anything that went wrong with anything?
Yeah. I had a couple of guys work with me, a couple of young guys, but I was very much a hands-on guy. You know, I didn't sit back and you know, let someone else do the work as such. I felt you had to keep on top of things. If you didn't keep on top of things, you know, you soon sort of lose it as it was. Mm. especially with the way IT was moving, you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s, it was moving very, very fast. So I always like to be hands-on, even down to internet cabling, you know, Ethernet cabling. I used to do, we used to do our own Ethernet cabling in the business. I used to write systems for the company. I wrote a sales support system. We sold Volvo commercial vehicles, and I wrote a system to control all the sales on that. I mean, data's my... I still like data. I like anything to do with data. I like to be organized. Sort of starting off with sort of D-based side of things, I used to write old systems to run small branches that we've got in D-base.
And so
and it was all self-taught, as I say, as well, you know.
So presumably you had to oversee the introduction in all those years of mobile coming on board and people in the workplace switching over from, you know, traditional computing, if you like, to apps and a different way of working.
I mean, I was responsible for the phone systems within the company as well. So we installed over the years, we installed a number of different phone systems, you know, BT and other phone systems, and they slowly became more software based, the phone systems themselves. So you went away from the sort of physical handset, so being software based, they went on to mobile phones. So you had an app on your mobile phone, and that was your desktop phone as well.
Yeah, cool.
Even landlines have gone to VoIP now, haven't they? Voice over internet protocol.
That really confused my poor old dad. I said, no, it's not a real phone anymore. It's my landline. No, it's not your landline anymore. He really can't understand how it works, but there it is. He gave up in the end. He said,
it's with many others, though, Ted.
He said, I don't want... If I can't have a landline phone, I don't want a landline phone, so he unplugged it.
There's so many forms, quite a lot of government forms that still say your home phone number and your mobile phone number. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's all one and the same now, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but it's quite difficult for people to get their heads around. Yeah. So you oversaw that kind of shift in how things were going. It must have been a really interesting kind of time to have been right in the transition period between, you know, phones being pretty dumb into being very, very, very smart now.
Yeah. Well, they went from being sort of physical boxes on the wall with electronic switching going in, you know, into them, and the clicking. And if you walk past the phone system years ago, they used to be clicking all over the place, to basically a server.
Yeah,
your phone system now is just a server. And even just before I retired, I installed a new phone system in the company I was working for, and that we didn't even have sort of a physical system. It was all cloud-based. The whole thing was cloud-based.
Yeah.
But we had people working from Spain. They actually, one woman, because working from home became the norm after COVID, she went and moved to a cottage in Spain, and she carried on working, answering the phone, just as she did, you know, if she was in this country.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. It was a lot more interesting years ago, I must admit, with, you know, the growth of networks, and even before the internet and such like, it was a lot more interesting then. Yeah. I felt, you know, but I still try to keep, you know, an eye on things. I read a lot, and I still read a lot. And then with the AI stuff, we were implementing AI within the company the last 5 or 6 years before I retired. So you know, and it wasn't a huge company that I finished my sort of career in. But we're still using AI there 5 or 6 years ago. So it's been coming for a long time.
Yeah. You know. Absolutely. So when you got past Symbian and you got past kind of PDAs, tell us about the path of your personal mobile phone habits, not so much the business, but what did you use?
I didn't have iPhones at first. I had a HTC Hero. It was a little ceramic type phone. It felt ceramic in the hand. It was probably plastic with a little chin on it. Was that the Hero?
Yeah, that's my Hero. I love that.
Yes, it was brilliant. And I had a lot of Motorola's. I had this. If I wanted a phone, I wanted it to be sort of rugged, and you know, I could take it anywhere without, because phones were, apart from the Nokia phones were quite delicate when they first came out. Mm-hmm. But the HTCs, the Defis, the HTC Defis, and things like that. So yes, I was on Android for a long time. I swapped over to iPhone when the iPhone 4 came out. Then I had iPhone 4 or 5. But even then, I used to swap backwards and forwards. I could never have two phones. Had to be one or the other, oddly enough. I mean, I have sort of three or four phones now. But before, I just had to be one or the other.
I do get that, because I want the phone that I'm using to have my main SIM card, my main phone number on it, and that feels like the hub of my life then. So I do totally get that. I mean, I've got 101 phones here, but I only ever really consider, seriously, at any one time, the one that's got my SIM card in it.
Yeah, I'm quite similar. I've got a secondary SIM, and that device doesn't get touched so much. I'm very much the same. Main SIM.
I've got two SIMs, and the one SIM's in an iPhone, and the other SIM is in a Android device. It's actually an Honor device on a Magic 8 Pro Air.
Oh, nice.
Imported it in. It's a super little phone, honestly. I took it away. We went to Jamaica a couple of weeks ago, and I took it away there. The cameras on it are superb. They're not quite up to the Magic 8 Pro level, but they're not that far off. I think they're exactly the same cameras that's on the V5.
Oh, yeah, which is a very good shooter. I love the V5,
But it's a 6.3 phone, 16 gigabytes of memory, 512 drive. It's a super little phone.
What colour really is it?
Black.
Did you say it was the Magic 8 Pro Air?
Air, yes.
Yeah, okay. Carry on.
Yeah. I've had an 8 Pro. I like little phones. The iPhone I've got at the moment, I just bought it this weekend off the classified. David Boffield came down on Saturday morning, dropped it off for me. He was passing through it.
Cool.
So, and that's an iPhone Air.
Ah, okay.
Because I do like the feel. I mean, I've got an Honor V5 folding device. And, you know, I picked that up and I like to play about with that. But for carrying about, the smaller the lighter, the better. I mean, I need my glasses. Even if the phone was a 7-inch phone, I'd still need my glasses, so I might as well have a small phone, yeah.
This is a good point of comparison here, the 8 Pro Air and the iPhone Air. I mean, obviously it's early impressions for you, but how do they compare?
No, I've had an iPhone Air before, so I'm sort of the iPhone Air feels slightly lighter. It does feel a nice device. It's smooth. You find yourself picking it up a lot. The screen's very, very clear, and it just feels Yes, you know, like they used to say, iPhones are like a piece of jewellery. It does feel like a piece of jewellery, but it's just a nice feel. But, but so the Honor feels nice as well. You know, and the Honor's IP69 rated, so it's a strong little device, you know. The Honor's battery, I think it's about 5.5 capacity, you know, 5,500 capacity. It lasts a day and a half for easy. And for a small phone, you know, you can't be wrong.
Looks like a nice phone, actually. It's off our radar, I suppose, because we can't really get them.
You still can. You can order them in. I mean, I use Average Dad Tech Store. You know, yes, it came through with Chinese, but there is no. The only thing that doesn't work, you can't say OK Google to it. But the actual Google services work fine. All my banking apps are working fine on it. All the Google Pay is working fine on it. Android Auto. There's no swipe to the right to get your Google page. It comes up with a Chinese page and then goes off and says, you know, not allowed in this area. But apart from that, you know, it's fine. It's a great little device.
I dare say you could put the global ROM on it, though. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, there isn't a global ROM for this at the moment because they're not selling it in this country, you know, outside China. Even they're not selling it even in Hong Kong because, as you know, you can get a phone with a Hong Kong ROM on and it's global.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like you're restricted too much, though, are you? You're pairing a watch with it at all, or...?
I don't. I mean, I like my I like my mechanical watches. I wear lots of mechanical watches. I have got smart watches, but I've never actually tried to. I've got a ring, you know, a health ring that monitors your blood levels, and also a Macefit Helio band.
And that paired up fine.
That paired up fine, yeah.
Okay.
And it's just had a new update to the Magic OS 10, which has brought it's quite a bit of stability. Well, it was stable before, but it just feels a lot more polished since the update.
That's good then.
Yeah. Yeah. So
nice bright screen by the looks of it. 6,000 nits.
It is. You know, I don't keep my phones that long, I must admit. So I might, you know, in a few weeks' time, it might be up on the classified, you know.
But keep an eye out, people.
People get scared of Chinese phones, but they needn't be, really, because they just work, you know. Nowadays, they, especially with Magic OS 10, I think the earlier Honor Chinese ROMs weren't... you know, you had problems with it, but especially since 10, they've been fine.
Do you fancy a Huawei then? Go the whole way.
Yeah.
I've looked at them. I was in the Far East earlier this year, and there was a lot of the Pura phones. You could see in the hands of the young people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look great, don't they? The Pure ones.
Yeah. It is a shame that, you know, it's not an open market for all these things.
But you can make it work. You know, if you're determined enough, you can kind of make it work. And some people are actually learning to live with Harmony and just saying, well, actually, all right, it's not as good, but not yet. But actually, they're getting quite a lot of mileage from it. So there is that. But the Pura phones tend to be the folding ones. I'm sure that's probably not true. But the ones that we talk about and see are the folding ones. And they look really nifty, don't they? The X Pura and those kind of... Have you ever had a folding phone, David?
Yes, I had... I just sold it. Oppo Find N6 recently. I've got a V5 I have a V5 because I like the Honor folding phone a lot better than the Oppo. You know, I had the latest Oppo Find N6
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I like the phone, but you know when you have a phone sometimes and there's just something about it you just can't get on with, you know. And
yeah.
It was the same with the Oppo, and I think it might have been even something that's as daft as the front of the phone. I'm a bit OCD, and the front of the phone, it's different on the one side of the screen to the other side of the screen, and little things like that just
gnaw away at me. You know? That would frustrate me, actually, no symmetry, but that was...
Yeah, but it is a nice phone, and there was no crease, really any visible crease in it.
I was watching Flossy Carter's rear view of it a couple of nights ago, and he's made it his kind of phone of the moment, and he was wowing about it, which he does with most new phones, to be fair, but... It clearly he was showing the screen off, as you say, the crease, and he said you've just got to be looking for it to see it, and he questions whether ever they're going to make it better than that, even Apple, for example, because you've got a hinge in there. Something's got to give. It can't possibly be completely invisible, and I suppose that's the point.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they can make the crease any better than the fine N6. No. What I'd like them to do is make the inside of the screen a bit more glass-like. Because you know, fingerprint magnets and things like that on any of the foldable phones, you know, they get quite grubby quite easily because the screen, being flexible, it's not quite glass-like. And...
That's one thing I'll say about the V5, though. I find it a big move on from the V3, and it's much more glass-like than what the V3 is. Yeah. I don't know how that compares to the N6 for you.
I mean, I like the V5. I like Magic OS 10. I like the Honor operating systems. I like Honor cameras. I'm just comfortable with the Honor devices. I mean, when the V6 is launched, I will probably get one of those. So I'll
get you back on then.
I do like folding phones.
But you haven't got one.
Yes, I've got a V5.
Oh, you've still got the V5, have you? Okay.
Yeah. But they're only as playthings. I'd never have my own phone. I mean, it's the same with Android and iOS. Apple phones bore me. They really do. The operating systems I'm very bored with. But when I get up in the morning, I've got by the side of my bed, I've got my Android phone and my iOS phone on the side. I pick the Apple device up to take it downstairs to look through my emails first thing in the morning with my cup of tea. They are smooth and they are dependable. You know, I mean, I'm fortunate that I can have more than one device. You know, if I had to have just one device, it probably would be Android.
Okay.
Because the iOS, they do bore me after a bit, but they're dependable and it's efficient, and you know all your banking apps are going to work faultlessly, and everything else is going to work faultlessly on an iOS device. You know,
you want things to go wrong, don't you?
Yes, I do. I thought to myself the other day, I thought I've got a problem. I think I like setting phones up.
Yeah.
The amount of phones I have, you know, and then at one point the bank fraud section phoned me up and asked me why I was installing the bank app on all these different phones, you know, sort of at least two every month, you know, and things like that. So I've got to stop. But it's a hobby. I love looking at phones. I enjoy, you know, playing with the phones.
I hope you said to him, none of your business.
I've fallen foul of the bank people as well with keep swapping phones. Santander used to have a 9-device limit, and so every time I used to write them down in the end, because every 9th device that I registered with them, I had to phone them up and speak to a human being, and they physically, while I was on the phone, removed all 9 and I started again.
Why, you didn't have the ability to do it yourself?
That's yeah, no. Bandcamp.
No, well, you can. You may well be able to do now, but
yeah.
back then, that was the only way it would work. They would not let you register the 10th phone, and you had to speak to a human being. They did it. It was fine.
Have you ever had not been able to put it to Google Pay because it says you've reached your limit on card?
No, but I think the two go in hand don't they? When you set up Google Wallet, it patches through to the bank, and they've got data on that as well. I mean, I'm no expert, but
Let me set the app up on the phone recently. But when I went to add the card to the Google Pay, it came up with a message basically saying, that you've got too many, and I had to go to the bank. I had to speak to the bank and have them reset all the tokens.
Right. Okay. No, I've not had that happen to me yet. So that's a new one. Fingers crossed I don't get hold of that one. But you see, I've changed my behaviour to some degree now. I'm really cautious about what phones I put my banking stuff on and Google Wallet with my cards because of this history of it being a problematic security-wise. And so I'm just, I just approach it gingerly, as they say, and I only put it on ones that I really, really think I'm going to use it on. And also, that brings us to the conversation probably about AI, back to what you're saying, David, and how it's all taken off and now it's all kind of people getting their phones now. We've had this with Motorola recently, Joe and I, is that you're looking at all this AI stuff, and to be honest, half of it is not that impressive. Sometimes it doesn't work anyway. Look what Nothing did with their phones, with their Essential Space, which everyone was just like completely poo-pooing, and I had a go at it, and it's just like locked into their system, and it's just like, oh, for goodness sake. So the roundabout end of this story was that I have actually quite often now gone back to taking my debit card into Tesco with me and not bothering with the phone at all. So just not worrying about it. The only time I come unstuck, if I don't have the app on my phone, is that sometimes you've got to go into the app to verify something you're doing for a purchase or something online. But actually, the wallet, I could easily live without it. Sorry, David.
Yeah, I still take my wallet everywhere. I insist on putting all the cards, well, not all my cards, but most of my bank cards on my phones, but then still take my wallet.
Yeah,
just in case.
I'm very 2026 me, so I have just my phone all the time. And every shop I go in, I've got an app for them as well. So, like Tesco, for example, I've got the club card in my wallet.
Yeah, I'll fetch my phone out to show the club card to the machine, and then fetch my wallet out to pay for it.
Yeah, that's what I do.
but things like, especially the Apple Watch. If we go down to London occasionally, just for a weekend away, and getting around the tube system with an Apple Watch is so easy. You don't have to fetch your phone out or anything. Just tap and go.
Is that not the same for Pixel Watch or
I've never
actually used sort of a Wear OS watch with a card system. Right. In Singapore, their transport system's so advanced, you just tap on and tap off. It's really anywhere you go, it's a really advanced system they've got there.
Yeah. Perhaps your approach, Joe, is because of the not being funny here, but the difference in our ages. So there's me and David in our 60s, and you in your 40s, and perhaps you embrace it more fully than us. And you work in retail, of course, and partly.
I mean, I left my wallet at my friend's house last year. And we didn't see each other for quite some time. I told him to post it, but he didn't post it. So that kind of forced me to sort of use my cards, the replacements on my phone, and then I just didn't bring a wallet out since I've had it back.
Yeah.
I think I got used to not having it on me.
I still don't 100% trust it,
It's going that way, though. Like, for my store, for example, it's cashless now. because we took, as a business, we take such little cash, and paying for a G4S collection every week or every other week is quite silly, really. It's a big cost. So, all stores are O2 are cashless now, and you can see a lot of companies doing that. So it's kind of the way it's going, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, it's definitely going that way. I mean, I haven't got any cash in my wallet. I think I took £30 out of a cash point in November, spent it over Christmas, and never replaced it. And I haven't had
any
cash on me. So I've got some coins in the car just in case I have to use a car park, you know, or a shopping trolley or something. But I just don't carry cash.
You could argue as well with your phone, it's more secure than the card, which is hence it allows you to go over the £100 limit. Like your card, you can only spend 100, can't you, normally?
Yeah.
And because your phone, you need either your biometrics or a PIN to get into to then use. So, yeah, it's in a way more secure.
What happens? Does it always... if you go to pay for something, and I know if you go to pay for something in a card, sometimes it'll say, oh, you have to insert your card and put your PIN in. What happens if you're using your phone all the time? It never asks you for any sort of verification or anything like that.
No, I've done various contactless I've not tested, but with a card, I think it's free. After three contactless payments, you then need to insert, which is a safety measure to make sure you're card hasn't been stolen by someone random, which is good. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I do wonder if there's anything like that with phones. I haven't experienced it.
I don't know. I might try it. I might try leaving. I've got some really nice wallets there as well from the old school. Do you still carry a wallet, Joe, or you don't?
I've got a nice Guinness one that my missus bought me. but since I left it at my friend's and I've had it back, I've not brought it out so much. It often housed my driving license for ID, but I don't get ID'd these days.
It just seems when you go into Tesco, it just seems to be less hassle to get a card out of your wallet. I know there's that funny thing about using your phone to do the points thing and then putting it away again, but laying that aside, just to get your debit card out, it just seems simpler to me than getting your phone out, turning the screen on, blah, blah, blah. If you've got a watch that will do it, I suppose it's a bit different, but...
But Ted, you've already opened it up for the app, so you've already got it open.
Yeah, that's what I said. Laying aside that. If I wasn't bothered about that. Or you could have an old-fashioned Tesco... whatever they call it, points card as well.
Club card, yeah.
and my bus pass. I still need my wallet for my bus pass.
Ah, yes, yeah.
I mean, in America, even things like your bus passes can be put onto Google Wallet. And I put my bus pass onto Google Wallet, so it's got a picture of it, and it's all within the wallet, but you can't use it on the buses.
They invited me to put my passport onto Google Wallet recently. I declined.
Really? See, one negative about using your phone, or two actually, obviously the battery anxiety. So if you've got your train ticket or your payments or your phone, if it dies, it's a big pain in the butt. And the other thing is, some things require a cellular network. Buying things don't, but I've had train tickets on my trip.com. I got to Luton Station and I couldn't load the bloody ticket. It was so frustrating. But the train was about to arrive. Luckily, the gentleman let me through because I showed him my email confirmation of my ticket. But yeah, I would have missed my train just because I didn't have a cellular connection in the station.
Mm.
So yeah, sometimes maybe having the actual train ticket or the actual card is sometimes better.
You can actually associate a valid government identification on your Google Wallet, on your Android Wallet, but it seems to be you have to do it just for one phone, because I actually went through all the process and you show it your passport and it verifies your passport and it comes up that this is now a valid identification for you. It's almost like an ID card. But when I went onto another Android phone, it wasn't there, and it said that I'd already registered on a phone with this.
Oh, right. You can only do it on one phone, can you?
Yes. Ah. So I haven't bothered since.
I assume it's a headache to change phone as well.
As I said just now, they offered me to do that, and I was just very wary of it, and so I didn't do it. But I had no idea. I mean, if it's restricted to one phone, that's me out anyway.
That's true, yeah.
This goes back to Ian Bundy's, like, having things separate for separate things again, doesn't it? Yeah.
The unbundling.
Yeah, again.
Okay. So what else have you got to talk about? You've got a couple of rants here, have you?
Yeah. I mean, I was going to talk about the fact that we seem to be overwhelmed with camera specs on phones.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm as guilty as the next person, sort of looking at, the Oppo Find X Ultra is just about to come out tomorrow. And it's got 200 megapixels on all the lenses, and all the influencers are saying, you know, it's the best thing you could ever, even better than the Xiaomi 17 Ultras. I've had phones with brilliant cameras on them. I still can't take a good picture sometimes. So, you look at some of the photos of the in the PS photos. Some brilliant photos. The photos of the month, last month, it was stuck on a iPhone Mini.
Yeah.
You know, and people like Chad Dixon, I love his sort of photos. And that's not an ultra phone or anything like that. It's not one of these. He uses a S25 FE.
Yeah, that's it.
So it's not the phone. A lot of times, it's the person. You know, I went to, like I said, I went on a cruise of a lifetime to Asia, and leading up to the cruise, I wanted to take the best phone. I did all my research. It had to be the best sort of camera phone that possible, because I might never see some of the sites again that I was going to see. And in the end, due to circumstances and one thing or another, I took a standard iPhone 17, and the photos were brilliant. And, you know, I just loved the photos. So all this push to have the best camera phone out, on the likes of me, it's wasted.
Yeah, because I'm a Bieber. I always takes with an A range Samsung. Takes some wonderful shots, doesn't he, as well?
Yeah, I
agree. It's you have to have an eye for it as well. This happens a lot with people with camera gear, which they buy all the best gear. It doesn't make them the best. Best at photography, does it? All the gear and no idea, they say, don't they?
Yeah. the rant that I put down, it's only a little rant. My family and everyone I know uses WhatsApp for everything. But again, why is it that WhatsApp doesn't have a centralized database? You know, be Google Drive or whatever, because if you move WhatsApp from your iPhone to your Android phone, it doesn't carry over the data. The Android phone backs up to Google Drive, and the iPhone backs up to iCloud. Other apps do it. Other apps are, you know, there's plenty of other apps that that uses Google Drive. You know, you can back up to a common database, as it was. So I just don't understand why WhatsApp can't do it.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, I must agree, because I transfer a lot of WhatsApp chats.
I saw an article going through the press today, or yesterday was it, that was suggesting that WhatsApp's going to be banned in the EU anyway. Well, I know that shouldn't affect the UK, but it probably will. Did you see that story? I don't know what's behind it.
No.
Okay.
It was cut down.
It was go something... On, sorry. Sorry, go on.
Now, you carry on, sorry.
All I was going to say was that it was, I think, something to do with the, you know, EU regulations in the usual kind of manner. So even though it probably, if there's some truth behind it, it probably shouldn't affect the UK, but as tends to happen, it sometimes does. But anyway, sorry, you carry on now.
Just quickly, I suspect Meta will make the changes they need to make to keep it going, I would have thought. It's huge, isn't it, for them?
Yeah, I suppose so.
And they're going to start introducing advertisement, aren't they, within the app?
Boo, don't want that.
Yeah. But the other thing that sort of gets me back up a bit is unread emails. The weekend...
Joe, you listening?
We were with some friends, and one of the ladies said, I'm having trouble with so-and-so. And she passed me a phone, and she had 1,053 unread emails.
Grief. Oh, my. Yeah, I see this daily, yeah.
And you think to yourself, what is the point of having an email address? She says, well, I open it up sometimes, and if I can't see anything, I'll shut it again.
Wow.
What is the point of email? What is the point of even having any sort of communication
I think,
like that?
I think that Joe would argue that it's because he lives in different services these days. The modern world messages in different ways. It may be, again, that us two in our 60s, we've kind of grown up thinking that email is the gold standard of communication, and I still do that. I always reach for email first. I live in email all the time.
But
I think that younger people, particularly, you know, people in their 20s and whatever, they just don't give a stuff about email. They're expecting to be contacted via messaging apps all over the place. Joe?
Do you know, I do like email, I actually do, but I'm such an idiot. I say yes to all the things that say, oh, can we send you rubbish via email? I say, yeah, go on then. And then there's so much rubbish on all my emails as a result. I have to have big old unsubscribe sessions to get rid of a load of it. Mm. So it's my own fault. I get bombarded with rubbish, and then it puts me off using the email because I have to sit there deleting loads and unsubscribing loads. I never learn now. I still say yes every time I shop, just because it's quick to say yes. Yeah.
But, I mean, my main email account now, I think I've got 5 emails in there. Anything else, I've in folders or deleted.
Well, let's see how many I've got. I've got 2.
Yeah. it must be an older person thing.
I think it might be that we've grown up with that being the way. And, you know, I worked in business all those years, and email, you know, we moved away from stamps and letters and sending people checks and, you know, Royal Mail postage and all that into email. And it was just brilliant. It was like instant gratification all the time, and it worked really, really well. And I just don't get why people don't want to do it. And I guess the answer is because of messaging apps, that everything is self-destruct, really, and people don't need to keep stuff. And if you looked at my, I'm sure you're probably the same, David, if you looked at my my labels in my Gmail, my hoard, my data hoarding activities for email, it's completely unnecessary. I've got emails right back to 2004 when I got my first Google account, and the very first emails from 2004 are still there.
but it's organised.
Yes,
you know where things are. Yeah, you know where to look, and
absolutely. And I can look back at things like, you know, when the first PSC episode was, and I can search on that, and because it's Google, it's the search engine. Well, for me anyway, works really well in that respect. So I'm with you.
No,
unread emails. Good grief.
Yeah. I could never find it in the Google search. I mean, when I was in at work, we used Outlook, and the search on the Outlook was very good. But the Google, the Gmail search, even on the desktop, you can search for something and just can't find it sometimes. And it's bringing up emails that you know has been deleted from years ago. search.
I have a different experience, David. I think that it worked really well. I do agree that on a phone, it's a joke. But on my desktop, it works really well.
Okay.
Each to their own. Each to their own. Yeah. Different experiences. Yeah. Yeah.
So having said all that, I do have three different emails.
I've got three. You know,
that's
I've got
no
two
excuse.
Personal ones. I've got two personal ones, and I've got one that I share between my wife, all the household stuff.
I've got tons of email addresses, and they all go through my Gmail. And it's just like you said just now, David. It's just that it's all organised, and you know, I know where everything is. I'm a frustrated librarian. I should have been a librarian, I reckon.
That was going to be my next question. Like, do you pull through one app, or because I like to stick my Gmail stick to Gmail, my Outlook, my Hotmail's through Outlook, and my Yahoo one is through Yahoo. So I have the individual apps for each one. You pull all yours through Gmail, do you?
All of my emails just go straight through my personal Gmail account, and it works beautifully. And it's worked beautifully since 2004.
Another tip that we do tell people about, and they don't realise it, as I say, we've got a shared Gmail account with myself and my wife that all the household emails go to. You know, all the household bills or any emails to do with the house. But that also gives us, say, Google Photos account that's shared between me and my wife. So if I take any pictures or if my wife takes any pictures, they automatically go to this account. So we've got access to both our, if my wife's out with her friends and she takes pictures, you know, I can see them as soon as she gets into Wi-Fi, you know. And a lot of people, couples that I know, you know, they don't realise they can do things like that.
Same with the maps, the location tracking on maps, is the case. Before we just leave the email topic, though, I would like to say that I don't completely trust Google, and I do have on my main computer at home Thunderbird running, and every day at 3 o'clock in the morning, it scoops up all the previous day's emails and saves it on my computer, and I've got a humongous folder on my computer full of exactly the same emails and attachments right back to 2004 as well. So I do have a backup.
It's because you don't get many SMS messages now, and you can't do what you used to like to do with your SMS messages.
It's funny you should say that, because I was looking at my phone just today and looking at when my last phone call was, my last voice phone call, and it was on the 2nd of April. Where are we now? The 27th. I haven't had a phone call for 25 days. And text messages, messages are not far behind, really. They tend to be functional text messages, not personal ones. Stuff to do with, you know, banks or whatever, and
OTAC to get into accounts. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Two-step verification. Yeah.
The world is changing around us, David. We are not keeping up.
Well, yeah, it is difficult to keep up, I must admit, you know. I suppose it keeps me active, you know, it keeps me interested.
Yeah, let's talk to you about the Razer Fold, because Gary Clark, our friend in the group, has got hold of one, and he's been setting it up. I like the size of the device, he says. It feels good in the hand. There are nice design details on the opening edge, as it is slightly beveled towards inwards, which gives a nice grip to the phone when opening the screen. Both the internal and external displays look stunning. Size-wise, it's a touch smaller than the Oppo Find X8 Pro I've been using, significantly shorter than the Razer 60 Ultra, but similar width on the outer screen. Much thinner than I remember it being, still thicker than the latest from the likes of Honor and Oppo. Button placement is good, with nice differentiation between the buttons. Hinge is very strong and supports a lot of angles from quite tight to wide open. The battery is really good, as during my use so far I've managed to get 36 plus hours of runtime. To be fair, a lot of that was in my pocket, etc, etc. But yeah, he's quite impressed with the battery. Music playback is quite nice, especially if it's in the background. He's no audiophile, but it sounds all right to him. Tried out Octopi Launcher to test it, and it all works well, except that there's a bit of a glitch with split-screen use, so that needs to be ironed out. Call quality is as good as any other modern phone I've used. Included case is nasty and cheap feeling, but I don't care anyway, because actually the phone is okay being used without a case, he says. I do need to find an external screen protector, he says, though, because there wasn't one fitted. The crease is practically invisible when in use and viewing straight on. You can see it from off-center angles, but you can't really feel it. It's better than what I've experienced with the Find N5 and the Magic V5, but it is behind on the latest gen from other manufacturers. That's it for now, but I'm pretty damn happy, he says. Unless you specifically want the FIFA edition, however, because he got the FIFA edition, just go for the normal version, as you get more freebies with the normal one. Also, there is no charger in the box, but that's extra if you have a... He's been using a GAN charger, and he says that the he gets good results from that as well. So thanks, Gary. We'll look forward to your full review, which no doubt you'll be putting up somewhere, and we'll give it a go. Joe, you've got one coming, haven't you?
Yes, I have indeed. I stepped on the same deal he was offered, and I can't wait. I was meant to come today, and UPS are rubbish. I won't say too much more, because I'm quite upset by it, but this week I should have it.
Would you like a hanky?
With the gifts, I did negotiate, though, Ted. So I've got the watch and loops coming with it as well.
Yeah, cool. Well done. Any thoughts on the Razer Fold, David?
I was talking to Joe before we started recording, and for some reason I've had Motorola's. I've had the Flip 5, the Motorola Ultra 5 and the Ultra 6, but it's I never really give them I never consider them really, and I don't know why.
Right.
I don't know whether it's the Motorola Signature, you know, I thought about that, but it's just something about Motorola phones at the moment that, as I say, I don't consider them.
It's interesting how you like the Honor phones, and you're okay with Apple phones, because I've been banging on about the crossover between the two and them copying everything Apple, and maybe that's something to do with it.
Maybe I don't know. I had the 60 Ultra. I didn't get on with that mainly because I had to open it up to use it, I didn't like the form factor, the way the writing was sort of small and the screen was sort of long and, you know, thin.
Yeah.
As such, I just couldn't get on with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's like Pixels. I've had Pixels in the past, but I don't really consider them at the moment. And it's not because I like a cartoony operating system. I don't. On the Honor phones, I always get the icons to... I take all the glass, stuff off. And change the icons to a more business-type icon.
I bet you liked Windows Mobile, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I liked...
I think that was a good guess.
I like the top. And if you have you ever used a launcher called Niagara?
I know what it is. I haven't actually used it, but
yeah, I mean, heard good things. Yeah,
but yeah, it's fascinating because you just have a list of your normal apps, and then it's quite clean.
Yeah,
you can get your phone to look really nice with Niagara. Whether it works on a folder, well, I don't know, but
I think it does. But like Gary was saying, that some things need ironing out. Like when you open up the phone with some launchers, it just doesn't quite work properly. I thought Octopi had actually fixed that, but maybe I'm wrong. So we'll look forward to more of his thoughts on that. Paul Granger is next. Last Monday's PSC was a great listen, he said. That's when we had about 200 people on it. I was particularly interested in the discussion on keyboard phones, and in particular the issue of size and weight. Having used a Unihertz Titan 2 now for 6 weeks, I'm getting used to handling it. It's not as easy in the hand as the BlackBerry Passport. The Passport is easier to handle, mainly due to BlackBerry's clever design, but my main point is cost. The Titan 2 price, now this is the Titan 2, not the Elite one, the original Titan 2, the kind of the tank. The Titan 2 price is £399, which I think is very good value in today's market. Some say that if these phones were lighter and smaller, more people would buy them. However, to make a Titan which is smaller, let's say 30% smaller, it would involve more design material, so more expensive. So people would pay say 50% premium for a lighter, more manageable Titan 2, would they? I'm not so sure. I think the current price is a big attraction, but there are obvious trade-offs. The phone was updated to Android 16 for me, he says. The latest Google security update is December 25, so that's lagging behind. The Unihertz website says the phone will receive security updates and Android updates to 2030, but it doesn't mention anything about frequency, so they've obviously learned all they know from Motorola. So the Unihertz Titan 2, I did have Jim Fowles one here, and you had a play with it as well, Joe, and it was a bit of a brick. And going back to QWERTY phones, David, any thoughts?
No, not really. I was going through some old stuff the weekend and came across my E71s and E72s. And they're beautiful little phones, you know, that they really are well made and everything. But I was sort of testing if I could use the keyboard, and they were good keyboards on those. I don't need to. At the same token, a lot of the youngsters now just talk to the phones. They never type or anything like that. I'm not one for that either at the moment, I must admit.
We're a couple of old farts, you and I. It's not for me either. However, I have to say, as we were saying the other day, Joe, that the Titan 2 Elite and the Click thingy phone, whatever it's called, I think they do look really interesting. Even though I'm highly unlikely to go back to a QWERTY phone. I do think they look interesting, and not being such a tank, it might be a bit different, mightn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the Titan 2 Elite is still quite tankish, but I think it fixes some of the issues we had with the keyboard on the Titan 2, which makes it a bit more appealing, because I do like the idea of having a QWERTY keyboard, I do. And there was things I liked about the Titan 2, to be fair. There were some lovely things about it, but I guess, like Paul Granger said, a $399, what do you expect, though?
I looked the price a bit up after I read he'd written that $399, and it looked to me as though they were charging like £500 for it, or you know, up to. So I don't know whether they suddenly had a price hike on it or not, but that's what, certainly on their website. I don't know about elsewhere, but yeah.
I think maybe he was an early adopter, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Because they had them cheap, didn't they?
Right, okay.
Yeah, because Kickstarter, wasn't it, was on there?
I think it was, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm. Right, quick shout out to Extreme Skins. Don't forget that our friendly skinning firm is there when you need stuff. Extremeskins.co.uk. I was amazed the other day when I took one of their skins off of my Pixelbook. They sent me this one for the Pixelbook, which I put on some months ago, and I just fancy changing it for another one. And you wouldn't believe the glue they've got for the sticky on that stuff is just amazing. I was yanking it and pulling it. I thought, I'm never going to get this off again. But eventually I did. It's just really, really strong. So just a shout out for the Extreme Skin stuff, because the glue on the stuff seems to be really, really good. Have you found that, Joe?
Yeah, not only is it good though, when you do take it off, there's no residue at all.
No,
so that's right. Although it's strong, it comes off cleanly. So yeah. They really are good products. I've always loved them.
Yeah, shout out to extremeskins.co.uk, who are not sponsoring today's show, but we like them anyway. Let's go to the app wrap. David, you've got a couple or three apps to highlight for us?
Yeah. The first one was an app that I've used really since 2012, and it's I've got all my passwords stored in the Google password for when I'm on the web and things like that. But this safe in cloud, not I always say safe in the cloud, but it's not safe in cloud, is a database that's multi-platformed. You can have it on Windows, Mac, iOS or Android, and it can store your all your passwords, and you can use it to fill in on your phone as well, but I never do. But you can also have all your bank card details, and you can have any sort of information, your license, any sort of information that, especially the older I get, you know, you forget. And I've always used one of the first things I do when I'm putting and installing stuff on a phone, and I put safe in cloud on there. And I've got it on my computers, on my iOS devices, and you know, I've always got access to it.
It's 50 quid.
No. I paid for it years and years ago when it was something like £4.
I've just clicked through to the Google Play. Certainly the Android version is £49.49.
Very random price.
Maybe not. And the other app I've only just come across, and I've used that before, like Starry Night, things like that, which you point at the sky and it tells you where the stars are, you know, the star.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Stellarium, yeah. It does the same. You point it at the sky and it'll tell you where Jupiter is and things like that. But then you can zoom in with, you know, just pinch in. Mm-hmm. And you can zoom right up to Jupiter and see the surface of Jupiter and the stars.
Wow. Cool.
And it's fascinating. You know, you can sit there just with your phone. Zooming in at these different star clusters. I mean, Starry Skies used to show you the Big Dipper and all this, but you couldn't zoom in like this app. You can actually zoom in.
That's really cool.
Obviously, it's not live. They are sort of pictures, but it's a clever app.
It looks like it's not mobile friendly. That there's not an app. It's like Linux or Mac OS or Windows.
No. I've got it on my iPhone.
Let's have a look on the Play Store.
Open source. It looks like it is.
Stellarium. Yeah. It's not open source now. It's in the Play Store and in the
Perhaps I'm looking at the wrong website then.
it's a fascinating app, as I say.
Ted, it's the right logo you've got there. It's the Stellarium. It's the right logo that matches on the Play Store.
Right, it's funny because on their website it just on Stellarium.org.
Yeah, I was, I can see what you're looking at, Ted. Yeah. It just shows.
And there's a free version that you can try, which you can zoom in, and the paid version, which I think is only something like £14 for a one-off payment, which, you know, I prefer anyway. If I like something, you know, I don't mind paying for it, but a one-off payment for life, and that gives you high resolution. Yeah, it's when you zoom in.
That's cool. Another £14.49. Is this a trend with apps?
No. The first one was £49.
Yeah, I know, but it was 49p. The 49p was there still, too. Yeah.
If you look on the Play Store, there's the free version and the other version, so you can install the free version first.
Oh, okay.
Which,
I'm going to have fun with this with my daughter.
Yeah, it does sound really interesting, though. It's a good find, and... I used to have one of these on my Nokia phone, yonks back in a Symbian, and I used to point it up at the stars, and I can't remember what the app was called, but yeah, this idea's been around for a long time, but that's really cool, isn't it?
It's wonderful on the V5, David, on the inner screen. It's brilliant.
I haven't got it on that yet, but it's, we've all seen these apps before that uses augmented reality, but I've never seen one where you can zoom in. On the start.
Okay, we've got a couple of bits of news here, Joe. Sidephone, which we're assuming that, actually we know that Jim Fowler has ordered one of these, and it does look quite interesting. Thoughts welcome on it. I think we probably mentioned it once before, but it looks like a simple phone which is modular, and it looks like it's got two sections to it, and you can swap the keyboards out, and you can, what else can you do, you can change the battery easily, but I think the main moving part is the keyboard, and they've got different options for people that want to have different keyboards on them. Yes, a dumb phone, but actually quite smart in it, certainly physically. Could you get used to T9 again, David?
No. I could never do it when we had to do it, you know. So, definitely not.
It's an interesting idea, though.
It's a very cute size, though. I like the... I like the iPod-style modular connection you can put on there. The circle.
Yeah, that's a little music player, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, that is quite good.
I'm sure that $300 it is. I'm sure that we'll get to play with it because Jim is buying one and he's very, very good at sharing.
He is.
Big Me unveils the high break dual smartphone with a weird rear display. So this is a Big Me smartphone, which is a proper e-ink display. It's an LCD. Oh, I see. So they're going after Next Paper here, are they? Okay, I didn't realise that. Hang on a minute. It's an e-ink display on the main display, and it's got an LCD screen on the back cover. And that LCD display on the back cover is a big circle next to a camera and a LED lamp. And it looks a bit of an eyesore to me, frankly. But they're showing it with a station clock going round on it. But I'm presuming that you'll be able to put, you know, other stuff on that if you wanted to. Well, there would be no point if you couldn't, I don't think. So looks like the specs are okay. Let's just hope that the e-ink, the experience is better than the ones that we had before. Watch this space. Any thoughts on that, anyone?
I'm less keen on this one.
Yeah, I've never used an e-ink device, I must admit. It's something that doesn't really appeal to me.
It's just the annoying bit, really, is the ghosting and the refreshing. You having a Kindle from 10 years ago, it's that kind of experience.
I think you've put me off Big Me for life, Ted, when you spoke.
That whole Chinese thing. We've spoken about the Find X9 Ultra, so that's coming and it's here. The Honor 600 Pro is all over YouTube now, so if you did have any reason not to talk about it, Joe, it must have gone now, surely.
one embargo dropped on the 21st, and I was allowed to talk about a few bits and bobs, like the battery capacity and stuff like that. But apparently I'm not allowed to till the 6th officially, which is the launch date.
Right.
But yeah, and actually I've been invited to the launch date, but I can't get out of work at the moment, which is really frustrating.
Oh. Shut the shop.
I just shut the shop. They don't need it. I'm looking to get cover, so hopefully I can get someone to come over and let me free.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, go on, Ted.
I was just going to say, I've been watching a couple of reviews online on YouTube, and the thing that stands out to me, I'm afraid, as usual, is this whole no Qi charging on the 600, which is a shame, because otherwise it looks actually quite good. And also, apparently, one reviewer said that it's got the same lie as the Magic 8 Lite about always-on displays. And it says it's got an always-on display, but actually you can't put it on always. It is just a lie. And that's on the Honor 600 Pro as well as the 600. So, Honor, you're very, very naughty and telling a pack of lies. Right,
yeah, that's quite poor. Yeah, not a fan of that, because you shouldn't say always-on display if it's not actually always on. Very naughty, Honor.
Mm. Interesting to see what price they put it out at, because...
I can't say.
Yeah, someone put down that they thought it'd be round about the 800 on GSM Arena. I think it's down as sort of round about the £800 mark. Well, if that was the case, it'd be right next to they're selling the Magic 8 Pro for £800 and something now. So I just don't see.
Yeah. Because you can get the 8 Pro at $899 on a deal quite often. I think it's $1,099 full regular retail price, isn't it?
Yeah,
but Honor always have deals. And I dare say, whatever they launch these devices at, you'll always see them cheaper on their website, always. I think they do it on purpose just to make their deals look more appealing.
did you see with the update to the Magic OS on the 8 Pro that they've now, the zoom's gone up to 200?
Oh, has it? Oh, I haven't looked at that. I've got the 8 Pro again as well, so I can actually check that.
I mean, the cameras haven't changed, but the zoom's gone up to 200, so it's
I wonder how shy it is, though.
Yeah, probably.
Right, okay then. Before we get to photo of the week, anything from your Joe's Throws?
Just I've got the Razor Fold coming. I should have had it tonight, but not got it yet. I am still doing my signature review. It's just I'm just editing it, and I'm taking my sweet time with it, because I'm lazy and I've been doing other stuff. But I will launch that this week, I think.
I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, cool.
Oh God, don't be too excited. It's not that great. But yeah, I do love that device. So yeah, it is nice going through the review and reminiscing when I had it in hand, because it was nice. Also got the watch and the Loop Buds, so we can talk about them next week, Ted, perhaps.
Cool.
Or when we're next on. Because you think highly of the Loops.
And the watch. Yeah. Although you've got the new round watch, haven't you?
Yeah, that's what's coming, but we can also talk about the pen, which you've got.
Yes.
Should be getting that. So I'm looking forward to that. But my SIM is back in the V5 still. I should really have it in the Edge 70, but I still haven't done that, which is very naughty, very bad motivator I am, because I've got to give it back on the 15th, so I better get that sorted, really. Like you said, I'm just not that excited after having the signature. My enthusiasm has really gone for it, but I should really have a little play, so I will do soon. Not much else to say, really.
Okay, that's fine. The Motorola Edge 70, I've had one here as well from the same PR route, and I've done a written review on that, and that's up on my blog. So I'll link to that in the show notes. Maybe another week when we got more time, we'll do a bit more of a dive into that. I have to say that I initially thought, as you say, Joe, with a signature in one hand and this in the other, it's like, really? But there you go. I did did find in the end some positive stuff about it. So I quite happily run through that. The other thing that I was doing this week, and I'll put a link in the show notes to this, is that I fired up the Nothing Phone 2A Plus again, which has been sitting around. It's still got one more year to go of updates. It's going to get Android 17. It's got Android 16. And actually, I was really impressed with it again. I thought it had a lot going for it. And certainly the price it is now, because you can still buy one new. It's really nice. And it's a better size, I think, than all of the rest of the Nothing phones since then, because it's got nice round corners and it's a little bit more dinky. Really like it. Apart from it not having wireless charging, I could live with it, no question at all. Really nice phone and very impressed. I'll put a link in the show notes to that one as well. So let's get to photo of the week. And Joe, let's have your pick.
Yeah, I've picked up one from Jeremy Harpham. He's called it Ant Life, taken on an Oppo Find X 9 Pro, which is a fantastic camera phone. I was really liked. I like the film. What's it called? Bugs Ants. Life.
Oh right.
And ants. Actually, that's the one I'm thinking of. Ants. And I love the animation. It sort of almost you can see in the image. I'd love to do image to video on this image.
Yeah.
And the detail in the leaves in the foreground. It was a really wonderful shot, and the blur as well in the background. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You should try that, because you can just download the photo from MeWe and stick it in the phone and do it, can't you? It'll be interesting.
Actually.
Yeah, for it. So yeah, nice photograph, Jeremy, certainly, and super detail on the really really closely focused on the ant. Really really cool. Any thoughts, David?
Yeah, I did look at that when I was picking. I do like a macro photo, I must admit. I try to get some macro photos myself, get as close as possible. But
great. And you've picked one, David, for your photo of the week, which we actually talked about on last week's Camera Creations podcast, which is now PSC Camera Creations podcast. No, it's not. It's PSC Photography. We'll come to that later. But yes, one from Ian Bundy.
Yeah. I like the colours. I like the yellows, the greens, and the blues. You could be there, just looking at the photos. One of those photos where you can just imagine being there. And I do like the perspective, the wide angle, the ultra wide photo.
I like the leading of the road. Leads your eyes straight down the road.
Yeah.
And the horizon's really nice. And there's a red and white striped lighthouse on the horizon point as well, you're right. It's very colourful, isn't it?
Yeah. It would have been nice if the red and white lighthouse was smack bang in the middle.
In the middle of the road. Isn't that a telegraph line going in on the right-hand side? I didn't notice that before. I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah. So it looks like,
Any thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, I know what you mean by this having symmetry, but sometimes a bit of asymmetry is quite nice. So, like, the clouds to the left is like slightly different as well. I like it. It's really nice. The blue, has he edited this one though?
I don't think so,
because the blue is very very unique blue there, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's nice, appealing, it looks good.
If he had edited it, he would have taken that telegraph line out probably.
Yeah, true, he probably would have, wouldn't he?
Apparently this is Happisbur, wherever that is. Happisbur lighthouse.
I do like a lighthouse image. It's cool.
I did look at the photo John Trimmer put on, the black and white photo, mainly because it was with a Vivo X300 Ultra, which has only just come out. It's one of these ultra phones, and I just thought, oh, he's got one of those already.
Which one?
Yeah, I nearly chose that one as well, funny enough.
Which one is that? What's it of?
Towards the beginning.
Yeah. Just off a street.
Oh, the Coronation Street one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Cool. Coronation Street. Yeah, that should have been the title.
I like that one too, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. A grim North Doncaster and South Yorkshire.
I called him Ultraman today because he's currently got the X300 Ultra and the X9 Ultra coming as well.
Yeah, it's being launched tomorrow. Yeah. That's the launch date tomorrow, the
28th. Yeah, always gets the Ultra phones. And he loves it.
Yeah, good for him. Right, okay, so that's the photo of the week done. And we're running quite a bit long now, so I won't plough into all the stuff about the changes to the podcast. But I have put onto the groups, the three groups in question, PSC Camera Creations, as it's now called, PSC Photos, PSC Videos, and PSC, so four groups. I put a load of blurb, an explainer, and an infographic. So I'll put a link in the show notes to that to tell you what we're doing with the podcast, with Camera Creations podcast, and how we're involving phones in that now, which we haven't done before. But the team at Camera Creations felt as though the time was ripe to drop the whole camera only thing, and fair enough, a good argument was made, and we're going to do that. So I'll put a link in the show notes, so if anyone hasn't read that, then they can do so now. Before we go, the classifieds group, Joe, seems a bit bereft of anything interesting at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's more wanted ads in there than actual things for sale. And the things that are for sale, none of them are phones, which is not a problem. I'm just quite surprised there's no phones to pick from. But the industry's kind of gone that way, that people are holding on to phones longer. Because I'm certainly feeling it at work. But yeah, it's not as fruitful as it used to be, classified. It's a love looking in there. I mean, it's good for my wallet.
There's a pair of headphones.
Yeah, there's some good headphones in there. Yeah, the Bose ones in there. Yeah.
David, did you find anything? Or?
Well, no, it was sold. The thing that I was looking at. There was nothing there at all.
It's gone really quiet, hasn't it?
But I think the problem is that there's a lot of high-end phones that people have got now. So if you're putting them on, that they're a lot of money and... You know, say 12 months ago, there used to be a lot of stuff on the classified that was a bit, you know, cheaper and low end, and they move quite quickly. Things like that do, but it's a big decision if you're selling a phone for, you know, just under £1,000 and, you know, off the classified.
Yeah, this could be the calm before the storm, though, Ted, because all these Ultra phones are coming out. I know the community will be buying them and trying them. So perhaps we'll see some Ultra phones on in the month or so. Watch this space, maybe.
Maybe we will, yeah. We shall see. But there you go. Thanks ever so much for coming on today, David. It's been great to talk to you. I hope you enjoyed your new experience.
Yeah, thanks for having me,
Great to hear about your stuff and what you've been doing and where you came from and what you did for a living and all of that. Really interesting. So phoneshowchat.uk is our website with two S's in the middle, don't forget. And most of the time I'm hanging out on MeWe, but you can get all my stuff as well on tedsalmon.com, where you'll find all the MeWe groups and all the audio podcasts. So head across there. If you want to buy me a copy, you can do that. It's at paypal.me/TedSalmon. And if you want to buy Joe a copy, it's at paypal.me/Hickey85. So make sure you spell that correctly and you'll be able to buy him one too. Don't forget Podhub UK as well, which has just been revamped this week with some new stuff, and Steve keeps that going, which is great. And we'll be back next week. No, we won't. We'll be back the week after, won't we? I think the next show is... Oh, no, it is next week, isn't it? No, it's not. It's the week after. No, it's very difficult to keep track, you know. So 2 weeks' time today with Jim Powell is on, the aforementioned Jim Powell, with his array of interesting and different phones. It's always great to have Jim on because he's just got, at any one time, he's got something else going on. He's also just sent me his little keyboard thingy with a screen, which we'll be able to talk to him about that as well. And maybe he'll have some more interesting news about some of the phones he's been ordering, like that side thingy that we spoke about earlier. But also some of those QWERTY devices as well. So look forward to that next, no, not next Monday, the Monday after. Very difficult to keep up, you know. Thank you ever so much for listening, those who have made it this far. And we'll be back with more in 2 weeks' time. And catch you in MeWe. Bye for now.